And you need to know it well, because we're not going to get a pass that we go, oh, well, I didn't know that. God expects us to know it, and God expects us to do it. Now, he gives us a twofold warning. He says, number one, that we should listen and that we should take it to heart. Now, I don't want you to miss this, but the twofold warning is that we listen and that we take it to heart in order that we might honor his name, is what the scriptures say. Sometimes we get all caught up in trying to honor his name, but we forget that's not the operation, that's not the action. Honor his name is the result. Sometimes we get in this idea that we want to honor his name, but we don't want to listen and we don't want to take it to heart. We just want to honor. But I want you to catch the fact that he says you got to listen and you got to take it to heart. And when you do those, then that is honoring his name. I'm amazed at the people in our culture who think they can do what they want, live what they want, talk how they want, treat people how they want, go where they want to go and do everything they want to do, and yet they want to tell you they're living for the Lord. We live in a culture where people think they can do anything they want and just say, well, I just do it in God's name. No, it doesn't work like that. He says you got to listen and you got to take it to heart. And when you do that, then that is what honors him. For all of us, our great end, our purpose of being a Christian, it's true for priests, but it's also true for laity. Our purpose is to glorify God. Amen? That's why God created us, is to glorify him. That is what we are best equipped for if we'll listen and if we'll take it to heart. He gives us not only a twofold warning, but he gives us a twofold promise. He says, I will send a curse among you. I will curse your blessings. Now, I want you to catch this. When he says send a curse, it's those things that are outlined in the scriptures. When he talks about when we got to listen and take it to heart, we get those rules that God gives us in Exodus. We get those rules that God gives us in Leviticus. We get those rules that God gives us in Deuteronomy. Now, some people want to differentiate between the Old Testament and New Testament, and I think that's important. And while we do live under the New Covenant, I do think we have to remember that Jesus said he came to fulfill the covenant. I think the things in the Old Testament are important for us to know. There's some great stories in there, but there's also some principles, some parameters, and some life lessons for us. But for us to know the Old Testament and live by it in the New Covenant, that we get to live under grace and by mercy, I think those things are important for us to get to see. He says that he will send a curse, and he talks about the fact that, hey, I spoke to you prior. You know what these things are. Then he says, but there's blessings. I think it's interesting for us to notice that he says not only that he will send curses, but the way he sends curses is through those blessings. It doesn't say he takes your blessings away. It says he sends curses to you, that he will curse your blessings. Now, that could mean a lot of different things. As I was reading and studying this week, you got to remember in this time, they're in an agrarian society. They live in an agricultural society. Now, you got to know this. When he's talking to the priests, how was it that the priests of that day lived? How did they survive? Where did they get their food? They got their food from the offerings that were given by the people that were sacrifices to the Lord, and some of the meat was burnt on the altar, and some of the meat the priests got to keep and eat for their families. It was a blessing of the people to the priest. It was also a blessing of the people to the Lord to be obedient, because he had commanded them to sacrifice. He talked to them about it in the covenant. It's interesting when you think about it in terms not just of meat, but also in terms of agricultural, that they planted seeds. I got to tell you, for me, some of you know this week, they had bad weather over in Altus. And once everything passed through and everything was done, I'm just going to tell you, and I don't want to hear your snide comments about the fact that it traveled 15 miles and didn't mess up anything, hardly, in Jackson County. I'm just telling you, you could not have picked a better place to set a tornado down, let it run for 15 miles, and go back up and not hit hardly anything. But I got to tell you this, once it was all over and they kind of figured out that no one had died, maybe lost a little property here and there, I got to tell you, one of the first things I thought of is, man, it's wheat harvest time in Jackson County. And I'm going to tell you, hail and wind are tough on wheat. When you think about the fact that they lived in an agricultural society and that they would not only give the meat of their animals in sacrifice, but that they would also give the grain of their crops It's how the priest survived was the blessing that God gave to the people. And he says, I'll curse your blessings. Some people say it was the blessings that the priest was given to the people, that the priest would bless the people and that their blessings would mean nothing, that God didn't listen to the blessings that they gave to the people. You think about the other blessings that we have in life. Most all of us, I think all of us who have children, would say, hey, one of the blessings of God is children. But I'm going to tell you, there's times in life that our children sure cause us a lot of stress. There's times in life that our children, just to be honest, they cause us a lot of trouble. Sometimes our children cost us a lot of money. They're blessings, no question. But I think it's interesting for us when we think of it, not only what about our finances that God blesses us with? What about our health? I want you to catch in here that it doesn't say God takes those blessings away. It says that He'll bless or that He'll curse those blessings. I think that's significant when we think about it. He says, in fact, I have already begun to curse them because you are not taking it to heart. In fact, I can already see you are not listening to what I'm telling you. That's what Malachi is saying to the people. God's speaking to you, and God says, I can already tell you are not listening. I would tell you this morning, one of the things I prayed for you early this morning, I prayed that you wouldn't just listen with your ears, but that God would speak to your heart. I'm charged with speaking to your ears. But really what we all show up here for is not for Randy to talk to our ears, but for God to talk to our hearts. You see, there's a difference between listening and hearing. And he says, in fact, God already knows you're not paying attention. Now don't lose the fact. Who's he talking to? The priests, right? The leaders of the people spiritually. I think that's important. And then he says, look, at the end of those verses in verse 3, he says, look, I'm going to rebuke your descendants and I will spread animal waste over your faces, the waste from your festival sacrifices. We talked about it a minute ago. Hey, when they gave sacrifices to the Lord from the animals. Now, different commentaries and different theologians, different scholars think different things when it says he would spread the animal waste. Some of them said it was the waste that was in the intestine still when the animal was sacrificed. Some of them said it was the waste that had already exited the body. Which one do you prefer? I read several this week that some of them say, no, it's definitely, I think it's this. And others of them were like, no, it's definitely this. And I'm like, who cares? I think it tells us the seriousness of it because we do know that the waste of the animals was supposed to be done what with? It was supposed to be taken outside the camp. Don't even leave it in the city. Take it outside the camp. And not just take it outside the camp, but burn it. And God says, that stuff that I've said, don't even leave it in your village. And don't take it out there and dump it and leave it. You take it out there and dump it and burn it. That's what I'm going to put on your face. Now, some of us are going, man, that sounds rough. Remember, God is serious about His covenants. Look at verses 4 to 7. It says, then you will know that I sent you this decree. There's that word again. So my covenant, there's that word again, with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave it to him, and it called for reverence. And he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and fairness and turned many from sin. For the lips of the priest should guard knowledge, the people should seek instruction from his mouth, because he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. It's interesting that God says, hey, this covenant is important because Levi was a special guy who was one of the tribes, one of the 12 tribes, one of the sons of Jacob, but his tribe was going to be the tribe of Levi, was going to be the priests that led the people to be who God wanted them to be, that taught them the scriptures. And he says, I say this to you so that it will continue. God's covenant with the priest was important. He says, then you will know. I think it's interesting that it's in the past tense. What do they say about 2020 vision? Hindsight is 2020. Hey, we all figure it out after the fact. But what God's telling us in the scriptures is that you can figure it out before the fact. if you'll know the scriptures and do what I ask you to do, but it doesn't say that. It says, then you will know. After I have to spread it all over your face, then you'll know I'm not happy with what you're doing. It's a lot simpler if you'll understand on the front side. It talks about that decree and that covenant. We talked about it a couple of different times. The decree is like an executive order, but the covenant is an agreement between two parties that includes responsibility and reparations. There's a responsibility on both parts of the covenant, but if either of them break that, there is reparations. There's a payment that has to happen in order for that covenant to be, for everybody to be serious about it. You see, if there's no reparations if you break the covenant, then what's the purpose of keeping the covenant? There has to be those reparations that are there. We think of it in terms of blessings and curses. Sometimes we think of it in terms of blessings and punishments. We think of it in terms of, if you do this, then I'll do this. But if you do this, I'm going to do that. That's the way a covenant works. He says, so that my covenant with Levi may continue. I want you to know something. God doesn't break covenants. God fulfills covenants. I want you to know, if ever there is a break in the covenant between you in your life, in your walk, in your commitment with the Lord, I want you to know, if ever there's a break in it, I want you to know you are the responsible party. I want you to know that every time me and God's relationship is fractured, it's always, always, always me. God doesn't break covenants. God just fulfills covenant. He even remembers it with these priests all the way back to the covenant that he originally set up with Levi. In verse 5, it says God's part of the covenant with Levi was life and peace. And God says, I gave those to him. Let me ask you a question. What is it you've been chasing all week long? What is it you've been chasing since we left here last Sunday? Most of us, if you drill it down, if you heat it up, if you condense it down, if you purify it, it's life and it's peace. Now, you might have been going about that in different routes, and we all think of that in different ways, but I'm going to tell you, what we're all after is life and peace. And what God says to the priest is, if you'll do what I ask you to do, if you, as a priest, will listen and take it to heart, I'll take care of the life and peace. Exhibit A, God says, is Levi. I gave it to him. Levi's covenant with God, it says that Levi gave reverence. We talked about serious reverence last week. Respect, to revere God. He says Levi was true with his instruction and the things that he taught. He said nothing wrong was found on his lips. He said he walked with me and he turned many from sin. That kind of sounds like what a preacher is supposed to do. That we ought to be reverent. That we ought to give true instruction. That we ought to teach the truth of the Scriptures. That no wrong would be found on our lips. That we would walk with God and that we would turn people from their sin. That sounds like a pretty good description of what a preacher is supposed to do. But then it also says that there should guard knowledge. It says that we should be people who others seek instruction from. I've been a pastor for 30 years, or a minister for 30 years. I've been a pastor for almost 11. I got to be honest with you. I'm still fascinated sometimes that you ask me my opinion. I'm still fascinated that people make appointments and come to my office and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or, hey, do you have any guidance on that? Or, hey, would you be praying for me about this? But I think as a pastor, as a priest, that's one of the great honors. That's a great respect that you would trust me that I'm walking with the Lord. But you also got to see on the other side of that, boy, that sure puts a lot of pressure on a guy. That you expect me to walk with the Lord all day, every day. But I think it says that was the kind of guy that Levi was. It says that we as priests should be trustworthy and that we should be wise. It says that for us as priests, we should practice what we preach. You see, if I preach to you on Sundays and I don't do what I preach, you'll do two things. Number one, you'll call me out. And number two, you'll get to where you don't listen. It's interesting, but that's kind of a tough thing to do as a preacher. And you know, it's even tougher, I think, in a lot of ways when you do it in a town like Medill. Because I think there's a good number of people in this town who have no clue who Randy Kendricks is. If you say, hey, you know Randy Kendricks? Or be like, But if you say to them, you know who the preacher is down at the Baptist church? They'll go, oh, yeah. Everywhere I go, as a priest, people expect me to represent God. Always. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but when I eat out, when I go to a ball game, when the referees make a call against my Wildcats. They expect me to handle my finances in the right way. You know, it's a bad thing if the preacher writes hot checks all the time. It's what they expect of us. But the Bible says God doesn't call us without equipping us to make us those people. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I try really hard to represent God everywhere I go. I don't always get it right. I don't always get it right. But I think it's important for us to understand that's an expectation that God has. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, you, on the other hand, have turned from the way. Remember, he was talking about his covenant with Levi. And he says, here's the covenant I made with Levi, and Levi did so good, I gave him life and peace, just like I promised, because Levi did this, and this, and this, and this, and this. Oh, and Levi also did this, and this, and this. But you, on the other hand, have turned from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction, and you have violated the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I, in turn, have made you despised and humiliated before all the people because you are not keeping my ways but are showing partiality in your instruction. God's judgment of the priests, he says, but you, on the other hand, you have turned from the way, you've caused many to stumble, and you have violated the covenant. There's that word again. God says, I want you to understand I got a covenant with you and I keep my side and I expect you to keep your side. You priests need to tighten up. You want to get upset at the people, but the fact is you're being a bad example and you're not doing what I ask you to do. You are not taking note. You are not listening and hearing. So in verse 9, he says, so I in turn have made you despised and humiliated. It's interesting, but we don't like the fact that God despises and humiliates. But that was the part of the covenant. If you do this, I'll do this. And if you don't do this, I will do that. You see, if God doesn't do that, that makes God a liar. That makes God not keep his end of the covenant. And I told you, God only fulfills covenants. He never breaks covenants, good or bad. We like it when he keeps the blessing part, but we don't like when he gives the curse part. He says, not keeping my ways and showing partiality in your instruction. That they talk to some people different than they did others. Different people and different talks. Not all the truth. They like to preach the easy things. You see, I think that's one of the advantages of preaching through a book of the Bible is that you have to preach the good things, or you get to preach the good things, but you have to preach the tough teachings of the Lord as well. But he says for the priests, one of the problems I got is you don't speak the truth the same to everybody. It's different truths for these people and for those people. Different truths for these people and those people. Based on age or based on finances or based on what you can give to me or who knows what their criteria were. But God says you're not speaking the truth everywhere. The scriptures are very plain to let your yes be yes and your no be no. The scriptures are very plain. This is for God. This is against God. He says you're either gathering or you're scattering. This is black and this is white. There's a line in the middle and there is no gray. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I told you at the beginning, I said, hey, I want you to listen to this. You're all going to catch it because you're going to go, yeah, Randy, you need to catch this part. Randy, remember what you said about Malachi and God and the priests, what you're supposed to be doing. Flip with me, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, if you'll remember, that's where Moses leads the people out of slavery in Egypt, God's chosen people, the Israelites. Exodus chapter 19. God leads them out of slavery, or Moses leads them out of slavery in Egypt, and he leads them into the wilderness. They're disobedient, have to wander around for 40 years, and then Joshua leads them into Canaan, into the promised land. Look at verses 1 through 6. It says, in the third month, on the same day of the month that the Israelites had left the land of Egypt, they entered the wilderness of Sinai. After they departed from Rephidim, they entered the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Now, you need to know this if you flip over just two more pages in your Bible. Matter of fact, the next chapter after Exodus 19 is Exodus chapter 20, where God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses. That's the mountain they're talking about. Verse 3, Moses went up the mountain to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. This is what God says. This is what you must say to the house of Jacob. Remember, who's Jacob? Jacob is the father of the 12 sons that become the 12 tribes, who are the people of Israel, God's chosen people. This is what you must say to the house of Jacob and explain to the Israelites. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you before me. Hey, remember what he did? We always think, well, he parted the waters and he drowned all the Egyptians that were chasing them. But yeah, don't forget the plagues that happened in the first place for Pharaoh to say, hey, why don't you take those people and get them out of here? I know they're our slaves. I know they work for us. I know we're going to have a hard time functioning without them. But after all these plagues, I'd rather you just leave and we'll figure it out. That's all the things, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now, if you will listen to me and carefully keep my covenant. Did you catch that? That's almost the same words out of Malachi. If you'll listen and if you'll keep my covenant, you will be my own possession, and out of all the peoples, although all the earth is mine, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. What I want you to catch, leave those words up there just a second. He says, now if you will listen to me and carefully keep my covenant. Sounds just like what Malachi said. But Malachi was talking to the priests, right? God's talking to Moses. But he's telling Moses to talk to the people. Go ahead and put those words back up there. He says, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. Although all the earth is mine, you're going to be my chosen ones. And you will be my kingdom of priests. Now, wait a second. Did you catch that? Malachi's preaching to the preachers, but Moses is speaking to all the people, and he says to all the people, all the 12 tribes, you are my kingdom of... Let's try that again. He says to all the people, you are my kingdom of... Oh. You remember all those things you've been thinking for the last 30 minutes? Randy, boy, he's going to have to tighten up. Boy, I tell you what, that boy going to have to listen better. That boy needs to read him some more Malachi. I think it's interesting that what the Scriptures teach is that God calls all of us to be priests. He calls some of us into leadership positions in the church. But He calls all of us to be priests. You see the expectations for the covenant from God's side? It's you too. I know the scriptures say to whom much is given, much is required. I've been very blessed. And I think God requires a lot of me. I also know the scriptures say that to those who are called to preach and teach, you're held to a different standard. I think that means a standard that we're going to be judged by, but our operating procedures are all the same. You see, if you are a chosen child of God, you are a part of the kingdom of priests. And I want you to know God is serious about His covenants. Priests and laity. Or as Moses was told by God, priests and priests. When we think about it, God says He wants to make a covenant with us that He would forgive us, that He'll deliver us from our sin, and that He'll give us eternal life. Our end of the covenant is that we would surrender and that we would serve. We all like the part where God forgives us of our sins, delivers us from death, and rewards us with heaven. But our side is that we would surrender and that we would serve. I want you to know something. That's not an if, then. If you will surrender and serve, I will deliver, forgive, and reward. It's not an if, then. It's a since. I have delivered, forgiven, and rewarded. You should surrender and serve. Some of us don't like to serve. None of us like to surrender. Remember, we is greater than me. It's not if and then, it's but since and expectations, responsibilities. Let me ask you this morning, here's the invitation. Is there something that you ought to be doing on your end of the covenant since Jesus saved you? Maybe for some of you, the invitation is this. Is there something because Jesus has saved you that you ought not be doing? And for some of us this morning, I would say, hey, have you entered the covenant? Have you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and surrendered your life to Him? That's the three questions of the invitation this morning. Because you have surrendered, is there something you ought to be doing? Because you have surrendered, is there something you ought not be doing? Or have you surrendered? Don't miss out. That's the invitation this morning. You can come and pray. You can come and talk to us. But the number one thing is, not that you listen to me with your ears, but that you listen to Him with your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the message of Malachi. That's a challenge to the priests. That's a challenge to all of us. Lord, I thank You that we get to be a part of Your kingdom of priests. But Lord, we know that comes with expectations and responsibilities. Lord, I pray that You would, through Your Holy Spirit, speak to us to help us know the things we ought to be doing. To help us know the things we ought not to be doing. And dear Lord, if there's anybody in here who hasn't entered into the covenant with You, that today Your Holy Spirit would just turn their spirits to turmoil. And that they would know the only solution is to surrender life to You. But that comes with life and peace. Lord, I pray for each of us that You'd help us to be obedient with whatever our ought-tos are this day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.